Since it's Youth Sunday, and I'll probably say it a couple times because it is, I'm going to share you guys a story from my youth. When I was in high school, I worked at Shopko here in town, and I was a backroom worker where they put all the ugly guys because they don't want you scaring the customers away. But when you work in the back room, you get put in charge of taking all the large items, like the furniture. And you guys remember, you know, 12 years ago when they had these massive TV boxes that you couldn't fit in the backseat of your car. So we had to bring those out. And being the best at what I did, because I always try to be the best, they had me work Black Friday morning. It was the busiest large item day with the TVs and the furniture. So right before the store opened, one of the custodians would always invite me up front, and we'd stand off to the side, kind of where the bathrooms are, so we could watch the mad dash of customers coming in to try to get all their big deals. So as you guys know, you know, Black Friday is the official start of the gift buying season. And it's been that way since the 1930s. I did a little bit of research because I want to know what I was talking about. The Black Friday originated, the term Black Friday actually didn't start until about the 1950s, where people would call in sick on Friday. And so all the lights were out, and so it became Black Friday because everybody wanted that four-day weekend. Now it's like everyone gets the four-day weekend automatically, it seems like. And if you don't, I feel for you. It's no fun working when everybody else has a day off. So later, Black Friday, kind of referred to as the busiest shopping day and the worst traffic day of the year. So people, you know, black was evil and bad, and so they called it Black Friday. And that's why I kind of jumped on the REI bandwagon last year. If you guys have ever heard of Opt Outside, where they said, we're closing our store on Black Friday because we want our employees and all our customers to go outside. And I say we go outside to enjoy creation, but they don't quite go that far. So I skip the mad dash, and I go outside. But the term Black Friday that we know now is where businesses try to get back into black, because typically September and October are the worst retail times of the year, so you're in the red, and so Black Friday helps us get into the black, so you're making profit again. So skip Black Friday this year, go to a state park, because it's also Free Bark Park Friday, where state parks in Minnesota are all free. I mean, you can't beat that. Then come to my store in Jackson on Saturday for Small Business Saturday and help my store getting back into the black. A little bit. But yeah, a little bit of shameless plug. Thank you. However you decide to go shopping is fine. You don't have to come to my store on Saturday. I'm not preaching God's word when I say that. Just don't buy me anything when you guys go out shopping, because I don't like receiving gifts. And I have proof to back it up. I took this thing called the five love languages test, and receiving gifts was at the very bottom of my test. In fact, I think it was one or a zero. It was nothing. So I don't like gifts. And I don't know why it's kind of the way it is. Especially don't like getting gifts from the in-laws, Emily's family, mostly because I don't like faking it when they give me something. Like, oh, I really love this. This is so cool. So what happens is I don't get excited about it, and then Emily makes me feel really guilty about it on the drive home, and it kind of takes the fun out of Christmas and gifts. So if you're like me and don't like any gifts, then receiving the ultimate gift, the gift of grace, the gift of undeserved forgiveness for everything that we've ever done wrong, is really hard to do. If you're like me, you feel like you have to earn it. Here in the Heartland, we work for what we got, right? We earned everything. Nobody gave us anything. In the Marines, they say the title Marine, the Marine's a little bit different than the rest of the military, if you guys didn't know that. The title Marine is always earned and never given. But that idea has kind of spilled over the rest of the military, where everything is earned and never given. So me, growing up in a Midwest-rooted military family, everything was definitely earned and never given. And maybe I can blame that for why I don't like gifts. But when the Bible tells us that we get something that we did not earn, it may be one of the hardest gifts for you to accept. Like, how can we get past receiving a gift of forgiveness and life when we actually deserve punishment and death? How do we receive a gift that graces God given us through Jesus? When I tell the youth, when I give them a question, I say we always go to the Bible. We go to the truth book, because that's where all like the ultimate answers for everything is. Every question may not be directly answered by the Bible, but you can find a way to answer it somehow in there. You just got to keep looking. If you don't know where to start looking, I tell them just Google it, because that's what I do, and it works a lot easier than busting out the old concordances. If you guys ever seen a concordance, it's about that thick, and every word in the Bible is in there, and you just try to find what you're looking for. So in case you forgot, we're trying to answer the question, how can I receive God's gift of grace and forgiveness when I feel like I have to earn it? And I did the Google search for you, and it's in Mark chapter 10. So if you guys will turn with me there to Mark chapter 10, we're going to go through, start at verse 13, and that's where our answer is going to be. As you guys are looking, I'm going to pray for you and myself as we get started. So thank you, Father, for the of this church. Thank you for their parents and grandparents and encouraging them to come to church, Lord. And thank you for a church that supports the youth. Open our hearts to hear your word, Lord, and use my words the way you want them to be. Just get me out of the way so that I can give your word to everyone here today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody's ready? Say amen. If you're not, say wait on me, brother. Amen. I didn't hear any waits. That's something I picked up from my southern friends. So it starts in verse 13, and it says, people began bringing their children to Jesus to have him touch them. The disciples rebuked them, and when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And I had to go look that word up because I'm not that smart. And indignant just means displeased. It's like a strong displeased. So he was displeased, and he said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. In other words, let them learn from me. Don't stop them from coming and learning from me. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I tell you the truth. I told you it was the truth book. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. So at this point in the journey of Jesus, he was starting to get celebrity status. People wanted to see him. They wanted to be healed by him. They wanted his autograph. And they wanted the children to be blessed by him. Maybe they didn't want his autograph, but they wanted to be touched by him for sure. So the disciples knew this all too well. They have been walking with Jesus since the beginning, and they watched him get pushed into the spotlight. Jesus never wanted to be in the spotlight. It's everyone that said, you are amazing, and we're going to push you out there. I could kind of relate to that, of not wanting to be in the spotlight and getting pushed into it. Mr. Scott. So Jesus is so important that by now that he needs some security. I can picture some guys, maybe in burlap sacks and maybe some sunglasses, acting like the Secret Service. And so, fellas, if you want to help me out and need some Secret Service, you know who you are. They're out there to try to keep people from getting to Jesus. I got my Secret Service guys here, so don't mess around. And they decide who gets close to Jesus, who gets into the kingdom. Thanks, guys. So we're going to look at verse 13. And in verse 13, it tells us about the children at the time. The children were obviously not important. They didn't get to see Jesus. They didn't belong in Jesus' presence. So at this time in history, they had no power. They did not add value to the family, and to some, they were even a burden. At this time in history, the Roman law actually lets you take your child right after it was born and go put it in a field if you didn't want it and just let it die. Let the elements kill it. Put it outside so it freezes, or let the sun kill it. There's too much excitement to be had at that time to care about children. We didn't want to waste our time raising a child and feeding it. And sadly, like, there's some of that still rings true today. If people could go put their child out in the field, they would do it. But back to topic. Moving on to verse 14, it says Jesus saw what was happening. He saw that they didn't care about the children, and they thought they were useless, and they didn't get to see Jesus. They were not on Jesus's list. And so, you know, what did the Secret Service say? They said, nah, you don't get to come in. In fact, So Jesus, you know, he told his disciples, guess what? The children are on the list. You guys move aside, take your sunglasses off. You're not that cool anyway. And let them in. And in fact, not only the children are on the list, but anybody who wants to come to me is on the list. They just have to want it. They have to want to come to me. Anyone who wants to get into the kingdom can walk right in with Jesus. So it's like, how many times do we push aside that scary looking teenager or that kid who doesn't sit still in our church and says, you know what, you're not quite ready yet. We're not spending our time on you. How many times have we excluded that woman who wasn't quite hip as the rest of us? She didn't belong in our club, or that dude who wasn't as smart as, you know, the rest of us think we are. So he didn't belong either. But all of them are on the list. Every one of them. We can't be bouncers to God's kingdom. And Jesus took it one step further in verse 15. He said, not only can they come in, not only are the unimportant ones allowed to come in, but the kingdom belongs to them. They are the ones that I'm giving it to. It's like, why does it belong to them? Because they're willing to receive the gift. They understand that they don't have to do anything to earn what he is giving them. They see themselves as smaller, and so they see themselves as unimportant, unlike the disciples, who sure thought they were, you know, tough guys and the important ones, because they were the chosen ones. They were the ones that Jesus picked out, right? And Jesus says, no, you guys, that's you get what you're going to get, but these unimportant ones, their kingdom is theirs. So when we take that backseat to God, when we say we're not important, and I'm not going to sing Backseat Driver by Toby Mac as much as I want to, we play the background, and that's when we're open to receiving his reign. And children are more willing to do that. They're more willing to accept and trust things. And so he's like saying, accept the kingdom like they do and trust. Since it's you Sunday, as I'm going to say it one more time, since it's you Sunday, I'm going to go a little bit farther and take it to the next level in the youth group. We actually have a song. It played right before the worship team came up, and we say, you know, every time we take it to the next level, we go deeper. So we're taking it to the next level. I'm going to touch on one more thing that Jesus said in verse 14. And he said, do not hinder the children. Do not stop them from coming and learning from me. Jesus knew what the parenting magazines are like calling all the rave now. They think this is new stuff, but Jesus like had this 2,000 years ago, that children pay attention to what is going on around them, and they're going to observe what you model. See, all children are disciples, and they're disciples of the truth, or they're going to be disciples of the world. They really can't be both. And if we try to let them, we say, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want and still be part of the truth, they're going to fail. Because you know, Christ says you cannot do both. Sure, you know, we want them to be in the world, but we also want them to be out of the world. And just like Jesus said, you know, Father, ask that you take these disciples out of the world, just as you and I are not out of this world. Everything they watch, everything they listen to is going to teach them something. I'm not saying that we need to shelter our children and youth, but are we going to teach them the truth? Are we going to tell them what is right? Are we going to tell them what is wrong? Are you guys going to listen to what is in their headphones? Are you going to watch what is on their phone screen? Because everything they see, everything they hear, they're going to accept that same truth as truth, just like they accept the truth of Jesus Christ and the life that he gives. They're just going to accept it and trust that it's right. So they're going to accept the music on the radio as right. They're going to accept the videos on YouTube as right. They're going to accept the endorsement from celebrities and the approval of their friends. They're going to accept it because they're open hearts. Kids just love people. So no matter how many times that your child comes to Wednesday night or Sunday morning and we teach them and me and the leaders invest in your child, it's never going to outweigh the amount of time that they spend at home and learning from the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles. You guys are the teachers and you have to model that. And if you don't believe me that that's truth, even though the Bible says it, try to go to Fairway today. You can't go buy your turkey today at Fairway. It's because Paul Beckwith, who is the founder of Fairway, was greatly influenced by his father. And not only did he get influenced by his father, but that's his kids are now running the store. So, I mean, this is three generations going influenced by parenting. So the story goes that Paul's father was a pioneer who traveled to new territory by a wagon train. Some of the pioneers were in such a great hurry that they drove on every day, leaving behind those who stopped for a day for rest and worship. Weeks passed, and as the settlers continued to move westward, the families who had not taken Sunday off to catch up with those began to catch up with those who had pushed ahead, only to find that, you know, those guys had their broken wagons, their animals were hurt, and the people were weary. Paul's father told him that right then and there, he decided that the Bible was right. It was the actual truth that neither man or beast was made to work 7 days a week. You have to rest because God said designed us to rest. It was Paul's father, his father, the wagon train guy, who like instilled these biblical beliefs into him, and it created him to be the man to be, so much so that it spilled over into his business. It just wasn't just him, his family. He's like, I'm going to share this with the world. So parents, you have the ultimate influence over your children. Grandparents have the influence over your grandchildren. So whether it's going to be a good influence or a not so good influence, you are influencing them. So now, sure, it's easy for me to come up here and tell you, you know, spend time with more children and teach them about Jesus and disciple them as you are discipling Jesus. It's not only easier to say than do. Everybody knows it's easier to say than do. But my love languages are actually quality time and acts of service. So the most important thing for me is to spend time for people and put them ahead of myself. So it is easier. And I understand for some of you, it's not going to be easy, but you got to force it, just like I have to force receiving gifts. But for me, like that receiving the gift thing is the hardest thing, without payment first. And that's what we're at, right? That's bringing it back. That's where I started. And I took us down kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail. But we want to talk about how do you receive that gift? Cause remember it's earned. Nothing's given. Everything is earned. I can't just get something for nothing. Even when you give gifts, you're giving a gift because someone's giving you one back. I mean, we're getting something for giving something. But Jesus showed us that we don't need to be important to be in his presence. We just need to be like a child. We need to receive the gift he is offering like a child, and then we can inherit the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says if we don't accept the gift, if we don't accept it without trying to earn it, then we get nothing, like absolutely nothing. So how did I overcome the gift receiving phobia? And I looked to see if there was a phobia for receiving gifts. And there's not a phobia for like what I have. There's fear of getting gifts that you don't want, and fear of getting gifts of different kinds of gifts, but like these scary gifts. But there's nothing that like I just don't like gifts because I want to earn them. There's not a thing out there. But what I did is I had to just, you know, accept it. I had to get over that gift receiving phobia, and I had to just say, okay, God, I receive your gift for nothing. So I accepted the gift of life and God's reign over the kingdom. And then I began to serve him. I can't earn it in the front, but I sure absolutely can like pay it back afterwards. Now I can't take you guys into the kingdom with me. I can't show you this is the kingdom of God. And come with me and I'll let you in. And nobody can. In fact, any of us can do is kind of show you the kingdom of God through our own life. But Jesus, you know, he stands at your door knocking, whether you can hear it or not. You know, he's always knocking. And you have to open it and let him take you into the kingdom. I can't tell you what it means to be ready to open that door, but you're going to know when it happens, and you're going to want to open it. Say Tongnu, and if you guys haven't noticed, we have our swimming pool up here, and we're going to go swimming later. She knew, she accepted the gift, and it impacted her life so much that she's going to show us today. She's going to show all of us that you know, I accepted Jesus, and she's going to get baptized. So where are you guys like right now today? Is Jesus still knocking at your door? Did you open it and enter the kingdom? Are you also ready to get baptized? If that's you, you know, grab somebody today and let us know. Because I have no doubt that if we had to set this thing up every weekend, the elders would be more than happy to set it up. Sorry if I'm volunteering you guys, you don't want to, but I'm pretty sure that they would set it up every weekend to do a baptism if that's what we had to do. There it is. It's done. just one elder. He'll set it up all by himself. He's got it. So maybe you've done it all, and now you just need to help people hear that knock and say, you know, someone's knocking at your door. Can you hear it? Let it in. So if you hear Jesus knocking and you're at the point where you're ready to open it, you do it today. Grab me, grab Scott, grab one of the elders. Mark is he's raving and ready to go, whatever you need him to do. And tell us, you just say, oh, I'm ready. You know, I want in. And we'll know exactly what you're talking about because we've all been there. We know what it's like to be where you're at. Just keep remembering, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You just have to want it. That's all Jesus said. Just, you know, want it. And it's yours. The kingdom is yours. So I'm gonna close in a prayer real quick. And I'm gonna ask the guys to go block the baptismal font real quick, because we make sure nobody gets in there that's not supposed to. So if you guys wanna, you guys will see what's happening. It'll be funny. So if you're that person that's here today and you want it, I'm gonna pray with you guys before the baptism. And I'll give you the opportunity to grasp it and open that door this morning. So if you guys all bow your heads and pray with me. Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning. I thank you that they come here desiring to hear from your word. They come here honoring you on a Sunday, because anywhere they can be, but they're here honoring you, and they understand the importance of rest and worship on a Sunday. Father, I praise you for anyone whose heart has been open from your word today. And if that was you, if your heart has been opened, I ask you just to pray this quick prayer with me. That, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I've been doing wrong against you my entire life. And I know that Jesus loves me and he wants to give me this gift. I know that Christ died for me and rose from the dead in order to give me that gift. So please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and be my Savior. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, know that just by saying that prayer doesn't save you. It's believing in Jesus and wanting to be part of the kingdom and to get the gift of life. And that's what's going to change you. And if you did, you this morning, you're going to know.